From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garz.
And I'm Felix Contreras. As we start looking forward to all the great programs we're going to bring you this year, we want to take just one look back at 2014.
We wanted to share a book that was published last year that we both really loved and we didn't get a chance to talk about.
It's called A Most Imperfect Union, A Contrarian History of the United States. It's in the form of a graphic novel. It's written by Ilan Stavins and illustrated by Lalo Alcaraz.
Lalo Alcaraz joins us from NPR member station KPCC in Pasadena, California. Ilan Stavins is in Amherst, Massachusetts, with New England Public Radio. Welcome, guys.
It's a pleasure.
Hey, I'm rocking out.
Hey, guys, how are you?
The music we'll hear today are some of the songs Lalo and Ilan used for inspiration while creating the book. And we start with one of Lalo's picks. This is Un Poco de Sangre by the Mexican rock and Espanol pioneers Maldita Vecindad. Okay, to introduce our guest today, let's start with you, Lalo.
You're an editorial cartoonist, you're an illustrator, you're a faculty member at Otis College and Art of Design in LA, and you draw the first nationally syndicated political daily comic strip, which is La Cucaracha. It's been a recipient of a lot of awards, and also, wow, I don't even know, like, you have so many, you do so much.
Don't forget, I'm a writer on a new animated primetime show on Fox called Border Town, which is coming out in March of 2015.
We're going to talk to you about that later on in the show. And we also want to introduce Ilan Stavins, who is the Lewis Sebring Professor of Latin American and Latino Culture at Amherst College. He is a Mexican-born essayist and cultural critic and author of over 20 books. He is the recipient of a Guggenheim Fellowship and many, many international prizes and honors. And we're, again, very honored to have you guys with us today.
Pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
I think they got your bio wrong, Ilan. He's the author of 20 books just this month.
No, I know. I was, like, running out of breath. Like, how much more can I say about it?
There's a joke that my students say, one of them calls home and says, my wife answers this, can I talk to Professor Stavins? And my wife says, sorry, he can't come to the phone, he's writing a book. Oh, I'll wait.
Okay, before we get into the history lessons, let's step back a little bit and ask about the genesis of the book. And Ilan, in your introduction to the book, you know, you take pride in calling yourself a contrarian. Now, how did your contrarian nature develop and how has it guided your way of looking at the world? And what did you bring to Lalo whenever you were going to come up with this idea and how did you guys come up with that?
Well, Lalo and I worked together about 15 years ago for the first time. I remember very clearly discovering the syndicated columns that he would regularly publish, and it was thanks to my students that I was drawn to them. At one point, if I remember right, and I'm sure Lalo will correct me if I misremember, I sent him fan note celebrating his wonderful work. And then shortly after, in the dialogue that began, I suggested that we do something together. And, you know, after a series of conversations, we ended up embarking on the previous book, the one that we did before this one, that is called Latino USA, Cartoon History. It took us about maybe 2 years, and it focuses exclusively on the Latino on Latino history in the United States, although it has all sorts of connections with Latin America and Spain and other parts of the world. It was a kind of a wonderful experience to work with Lalo, even though he and I live in the opposite ends of the country. And if I remember right, Lalo, we have only met in person once.
Yeah, I think so.
That's it.
And I'm in L.A., Ilan is in Massachusetts, and that's why we have a wonderful relationship.
That's right. Anyway, after that, the book came out, and it became, the Latino USA came out in the year 2000. It became really a success embraced both by critics and young people. I, for one, was excited and surprised. And over the years, we've talked about doing something else. We've both been busy with other things. And at one point, the original publisher of Latino USA asked us to expand and do a 15th anniversary edition. And in talking, he mentioned to me that it would be a good idea to do something larger about the United States. And that's when I got in touch with Lalo, and we went for it. As for the question of becoming a contrarian, well, I think my mother would be able to speak more neatly about that. I have I came to the United States as an immigrant in 1985 because I thought that it would be in this country where I would be able to speak my mind freely about all sorts of topics and become a writer. I have both the absolute love that an immigrant has for the country in admiration and awe, and also the reservations and the discomfort that comes with realizing that the country is less than what we think of when we live outside of it, that there are lots of imperfections in it, and that it is important that we speak out, that we are not silent. And I think I'll conclude with this. I think I have become more of a contrarian because of Lalo.
Ilan, you write about your childhood in Mexico. My teachers viewed America with a mix of awe and repulsion. And, you know, I'm also an immigrant from Latin America. And right there, you just described everything I grew up with and every single conversation I've ever had with a Latin American about the U.S. Awe and repulsion. And then you go on to say that that perception, you know, resulted from the clash between American individualism and Mexican collectivism. And I've had this debate with a lot of friends regarding why Latin American countries can't get on their feet. And I got to tell you, I've always attributed it to the exact opposite of what you say there. And I've always felt like there's this savage individualism in Latin America. You know, these Latin American politicians that are predatory, these military governments that are predatory. And in the U.S., it feels like there's not that level of victimizing your own people. Like, there's a sense of a common good that is absent here in Latin America. What do you think of that?
Well, I disagree.
Okay.
I believe that, for one thing, Latin America is really standing on its feet. After centuries of being on its knees, so to speak, finally, and certainly compared to other parts of the world, the Arab world in particular, certain parts of Africa, Latin America is much more developed, much more advanced, geared toward a vision of stability and democracy that these other regions of the world would envy. And I think that is in large part a result of the tenacity of people in Latin America and the in the way that Latin Americans combine different models that come from Europe, from the United States, from pre-Columbian cultures into something that is kind of a hybrid, unique, and very improvisational, very jazzy. As to the individualism and the collectivism, I think that Latin America, in spite of its politicians, is a region where families matter much more than they do in the United States. People stick together. Friendship is more enduring, less fleeting and ethereal than in the United States. I think that we have the problem of Latin America has always been its politicians. We are incredible dreamers, wonderful artists. But when it comes to politics, very often we have forces that undermine our efforts. Not to say that our efforts are destroyed. But I think that unfortunately or finally, the United States is becoming Hispanicized in that the politicians in this country can't seem to be doing anything either. They are absolutely paralyzed, most often end up in jail. And most Americans don't pay much attention to politics. And when they do, it's just to disregard them.
Yeah, look at a new poll came out. I think they said something like 60-something percent of Mexicans in Mexico are fed up with Enrique Peña Nieto and his administration, and 33% would like to now come and live in the U.S. And it's funny, the radio reporter that said it said only 33%. You know, I think the U.S. is just, it's inevitable. It is going to be a brown country, and there's nothing that any Tea Party or any anti-immigrant nativist is going to do to stop the natural flow.
We're going to take a break from music because you brought in a song that's appropriate for this.
This is a song, Brown and Proud by Los Mocosos.
Ain't got no hubcaps to sell.
Okay, as we mentioned, the book is in the form of a graphic novel, words combined with drawings. Now, tell us about how you pulled this off. I mean, how do you match the words with the drawings?
I write the script and then send it to Lalo, and Lalo makes changes, and there's an editor in between. Then it comes back to me. All those changes are kind of inserted or expanded. It goes back to Lalo, where in the script's suggest, you know, divide this page into four panels, or it's a central image that should have text all around. But Lalo really takes all that once he's executing the pages, executing in both sense of making them and destroying them, and create something beautiful and new. And then it goes back to me, and I say, let's eliminate this text, and this is much better than the script. Let's add this other thing. So I would say that every single page, on average, went back and forth, I don't know, maybe 8-10 times until we both felt that it was the way it should look. Go ahead, Lana.
Yeah, and then I could, I'm up late drawing, thinking, reading this script and certain pages going like, you know, I could tell Elon doesn't draw because he just described like, draw, you know, the Sistine Chapel, but change God to Oprah and then make flying salmon with unicorns on their backs. And I'm like, edit. Edit. not drawing that. And eventually it comes out.
Yeah,
right.
It comes out.
I love that process. Gosh, you guys are hilarious together. You should have your own show, man. Elon, you brought in some music that you used for inspiration or that you use while writing. Why don't you pick one of your songs?
Why don't we play one by Lila Downs? It's called La Llorona. Lila Downs is a wonderful Mexican-American singer who does a lot of music that is in indigenous languages. I adore her style. And this is the famous La Llorona, the legend in a beautifully delivered rhythm. Con tu rebozo a llorona,
Lalo, you have a television show debuting really soon in March. You got this idea green-lighted, and I'm very interested in hearing an insider's perspective of how you deal with idea gatekeepers that, you know, maybe historically haven't been so open to Latino ideas in Hollywood. And do you think, in a way, like you're opening a gate or a door for the next Latino-themed show or movie to come forward?
Yeah, and the way it works in Hollywood, I mean, this is how, you know, you take this gig and now you are pre-approved, and it is possible to get a show. I'm developing two other projects already, and I'm working on an animated feature pitch for an unnamed major studio, and it's because, you know, like in journalism, people are lazy, you know. Showbiz is the same way. They go, you're pre-approved, you know, you're not going to blow it, so come on in and meet. And so the gates are creaking open, you know, but it's been a long time coming.
You know, and let me say that, you know, I don't know what you're thinking about, but I have this image of two Latinos doing a radio show talking about a lot of different arts and culture. One of them's from Argentina, one's from Chicano from California. I don't know, maybe there's a premise there for a show or something. Just wondering out loud.
Did Elon write that? Did Elon come up with that?
No, not that one, Lalo.
Elon Stavins and Lalo Alcaraz are the authors of the book, A Most Imperfect Union, A Contrarian History of the United States. Guys, thanks so much for joining us today. This was a blast.
I want to keep on talking.
I know. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Muchas gracias a todos.
Hey, guys, will you stop by again? This was so much fun, and it was really interesting.
Let's do it.
Well, we'll serve drinks next time.
And obviously, we talked about a lot of things that I know our listeners have a lot of opinions about everything we discussed. Just because we're about to turn the mic off does not mean the conversation's going to stop. Tell us what you think on Facebook and on Twitter. We're NPR's Alt Latino. And you guys, Lalo, Ilan, you'll chime in, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm chiming in right now.
Let me take you down. 'Cause I'm going to Strawberry Field.
We want to thank NPR member station KPCC in Pasadena, California, for helping us bring Lalo Alcaraz to you. And for Ilan Stavins, we thank New England Public Radio. We want to remind you that you can hear all of the songs we play today on our website at npr.org. And we'll end the show with another one from Lalo, but I think we all really like this one. This is La Santa Cecilia with their cover of the Beatles classic, Strawberry Fields. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. This has been Alt Latino.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. It's me, but you know I'm